Let me say this again. Human beings, unassisted by the Holy Spirit, we are capable of anything. And if you would lay your heart on the table and the altar and say, God, take care of me. Take this and change it. God will change it.
Life is a journey, and as in every journey, you need a roadmap. Today on Your Roadmap to Success, you will receive detailed instructions on how to navigate through life successfully. Welcome to Your Roadmap to Success with author and teacher, Neil Achampong.
About to share a word with you that might not be for everybody, but it is for someone who wants to go after God. I am not preaching this message for anybody who just want to come to church for church's sake. I'm not here for you today. But I'm here for someone who wants to be a worker with God and to do the things that God is calling us to do. Amen. Because my focus is to help you to be intentional. And the only place that you can become intentional from is your heart. That is why I am teaching and doing the vision casting on the heart. Last week, we talked about that the human heart vetoes any and everything you do. You can fast, you can pray, you can do anything that you believe should bring an answer. It will not bring the answer because God is only looking at you. 1 Samuel 16, you all remember when the prophet Samuel comes into the place to anoint a king for Israel, the scripture says, he looks on Eliab and he says, it's got to be him. And God says, it's not him. And later on, listen to the words God speaks. He says, man looks on the outward appearance, but I look on the heart. The only thing God is interested in is your heart. The book of Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah chapter 17. Look there with me in the 10th verse. I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind. I, the Lord, search the heart. And I test the heart. Even to give every man according to his ways. And according to the fruit of his doings. In other words, the scripture says, whatever we receive from God is a direct result of our heart condition. Your heart what? Condition. You all remember that the disciples came back and they said, Jesus, even demons bow. And Jesus said, and not so fast, because it is your heart I'm looking at. It is time that the church changes the parameters with which we measure spirituality and success. Spirituality and success is not crowd. Never use crowd to measure spirituality. I told you I didn't come here today to preach to someone who wants to have church, but I'm here for someone who wants to be part of the army of God. In those last days, Jesus said, in that day, I will tell you plainly, I don't know you. Why? Because when he looks at your heart, you are not his. Even though you are prophesying, even though you are driving out demons, even though you are performing miracles, I am not saying prophesying, casting out demons, and then doing miracles is a bad thing. But whenever you do those things without a heart that is pure, God is not interested in it. So I want us to delve into what it means to be pure in heart. A pure heart does the right things for the right reasons. Your motives is only to project Jesus and Jesus alone. It is time that the church needs to understand that the way we measure spirituality and success, it needs to change. Money. You know how sometimes we feel if the person has money, then he's more spiritual. God has blessed them. But guess what? There are many who have money and have a pure heart, but there are many who have money and their heart is in their money. Notice where Jesus said, wherever a man's treasure is, there you go, there will his heart be also. So if your heart is in your treasure, it's not with him. Amen? Are you learning anything? Money, fame, influence, anointing, prayerfulness, knowing the scriptures, all these things, they are very good. But without a pure heart, these things are meaningless. Jesus said, on that day, I will say to many, I never knew you. Please write it down. There are three kinds of believers in the church. There are believers who have authority over things. And whenever they pray, you notice that your prayer is about things. In the book of Matthew 25, verse 21, you all remember the parable of the talents. The Bible says that he gave one, five, one, two, and then the other what? One. Then the one who had five came back and says, Lord, I have done so much with it. And he says, faithful servant, I give you authority over what? Things. Over many things. Because you have been faithful in little things, I give you the authority over things. Things like what? Money. Things like fame. Things like houses. And please notice, this is the basic. But that is what we measure spirituality by. Now, you got to go beyond it. I said you got to what? The second level of authority is those who have authority over nations. In the book of Revelation 2:26, he says, the one who overcomes, I will give him authority over nations. In other words, they understand what God is doing in a nation. When you take them to a place, they know how to bring people together. But the highest level of authority is the people who knows God's program. And God comes down to consult with them. Would it be okay for me to review that with you? Those who have authority over things. And there are many believers, that is all they want. So I can have cars. That is the barest minimum. And you can have those things without a pure heart. The truth is, those who knows God's program, their hearts are pure. This morning, I am calling on every single one of you, every one of you in this building, and those who are listening to me online, and my sons and daughters who are mentoring, understand that the call of God is not for things and just for ordinary things. God wants us to know his program and follow it. I want to ask you, do you know what God is doing in our world today? Or it is about just what your church is doing? I have made a decision. This is why you realize there are things I don't become part of, because I am more interested in what he wants to do in this season and in this hour. This is why I told you this message might not be for everyone. But I crave your indulgence that come along and let us walk with him. I said, and let us what? We're not here to ask God for things, because it's the lowest level. Rise to the second level. Psalms 2:8 says, ask for the nations and the ends of the earth, and I will give them to you. At least get to the place where you have authority over nations. That when you speak over Iraq, and you speak over Bahrain, and you speak over the UAE, and you speak over these places. And like last night we were praying, I think one of the brothers was leading us. He said, let us pray for divine encounters. That people will be sleeping in their room and God will be showing up. Because you have authority over what? Nations. And you use that. But we have settled for the meager. Settle. Can you give me a shoe? Can you give me a shirt? Can you give me a pants? Can you give me a house? Oh, King of Glory, may you help your church. But I am not disturbed. Why? Because the scripture says, Jesus said these words, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Those who are ready to go with him, God will go with them. John the Baptist was a man who was pure in heart, but he didn't perform miracles. I want you to redefine success. Tell the person sitting next to you, we got to redefine our success. I am seeking God that this place will be teeming with numbers, but that is not the measure of my success. Because I don't want authority over things. I want to know God's program. In fact, in this area, I understand what God is doing in this county. And everything I do is strategic because I know what God wants. Don't think we just get involved in things for the sake of it. And I know you are capable if you will become tired with settling for things. And start saying, God, I want to. But God will not reveal his program to you if your heart is not pure. I'll come to it and I'll show you how. In the book of Luke chapter 2, there is a lady called Anna the prophetess. Everybody say Anna the prophetess. The Bible says this woman was in the temple. She did not go anywhere. For 80 years, she was in the temple fasting and praying. You don't read anywhere that Anna performed a miracle. But as soon as the baby Jesus shows up in the temple, he says, the salvation of God has come. How did she know? Simeon was another one. The Bible says he took the baby Jesus in his hands and he says, now my eyes have seen thy salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people. I can imagine that the Pharisees will be standing by, looking at him and saying, what in the world is he doing? He understood God's program. I am crying to the Lord and believing him that right here in Covenant Family Chapel, there will be the Annas and there will be the Simeons and there will be the John the Baptist who are not interested in what the masses want, but they understand the program of God and say, God, we are ready to go with you, so work on my heart. Let me say this again. Human beings, unassisted by the Holy Spirit, we are capable of anything. And if you would lay your heart on the table, on the altar, and say, God, take care of me. Take this, and change it. God will change it. I said, God will what? The problem is most of the time we think that when we give our hearts to the Lord, God is going to take away our joy. No, he doesn't. God wants a pure heart. People who have a pure heart are people who are willing to say, God, just take it. This is me. Take it because I am not going to keep fighting with you because I realize this is getting bad. Take over and rule in my heart. You see, when I began this ministry, there were many people around. Few are still here. What happened? They helped me. Until when they begin to see advancement, then the same people who helped the vision decided we are going to destroy the vision. The potential of destruction was already in them. Disloyalty was already in them. Something from the outside had to activate it. That is what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to remind you that you are capable of doing the same thing you are accusing other people of doing. If you don't lay your heart on the altar, you will be the same. You will find a pastor does so much work. And then the latter stages of his life, you find out that there were things he's been doing, hiding behind closed doors, and it erases his entire testimony. That is what we are praying for, things. I pray that we become like Simeon. I pray that we will become like Anna the prophetess. Let me bring it into the context of marriage. Lay your heart on the altar. Your spouse is not evil. If you lay it on the altar, God will begin to deal with you. And you will realize you are so wretched. And the one you are pointing the finger at might be better. When God wants to give you a pure heart, it's a process. It doesn't just happen, boom, then you have a pure heart. You have to go through stuff to get there. Amen. I think it's in the book of Psalms 51. If you read, I think from 14 down, David says that sacrifices God is interested in is in a broken and a contrite heart. The actual Hebrew word that has been translated contrite means crushed into powder. In other words, God literally takes you through stuff until the heart you have gets crushed. Then he creates a new one out of it. Psalms 51, let's look at David's example. This is something I studied. I looked at David. King David was anointed, correct? I am sure when you look at David, a little boy, playing the harp, driving out the evil spirit out of Saul, you will never think that on the inside of this dude, he is capable of taking somebody's wife, committing adultery, and killing the person. You're sitting there lying to yourself, lying to your teeth that you are all that. No, you ain't all that. Because without the assistance of the Holy Spirit, you and I, we are nothing. There are places I don't go, not because I hate the people there, but because I don't want certain things to be activated in me. When I find out that there are preachers who are sleeping outside of their marriage, I don't say I am not capable. I am capable. So I choose to lay my heart before God and say, God, let me not be like that. Please help me. Are you here with me today? Parents, don't cry over your children and keep saying they are bad people. You have the same propensity is inside you. They are following girls. You have the propensity of following girls. It's in you. The only reason you are not doing it is because you have gone through a certain process and come to a point and you realize, this is not for me. Keep teaching them that on the inside of them also is resident the Holy Spirit. They should rather nurture the nature of righteousness and not nurturing the nature of sin. So David is anointed. If David was in today, we would say, hey, let's go visit the church pastored by Pastor David. Pastor David the anointed. May God reveal you to you. Because without the help of the Holy Ghost, you are just a sinner like anybody else. So the propensity to turn from being a guy to a girl is in all of us too. Until it gets what? Activated by something on the exterior. See, you're all laughing, but it's in you. Are you learning anything? Are you learning anything? Psalms 24, look at the third and the fourth verse. He asks the question, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy places? And he answers the question in verse 4. Shall we all read together? Go. He that had clean hands and a pure heart. Who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. It is amazing how people sometimes would come to you and they would say, I want to do this for you. And you know that deep out of their hearts, they are doing it wholeheartedly. But it is not about you, it's about them. That is not a pure heart. No wonder we do things, we are wondering, how is that God is not blessing us? Because your heart has vetoed your actions. It has to be pure. God is not asking for perfection. He is not asking for you to be blameless. But he's saying that be ready not to pretend. If you are angry, say, I am and say, Holy Spirit, help me out of my anger. Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? In fact, for 8 months, I have been studying this scripture. When I'm done, one day I would unfold it to you. But let me give you a skeleton of it. He said, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? If you take the map of Jerusalem, where the hill of the Lord was, it was on the eastern side, all the way to the top. The scripture says Nehemiah comes on the scene. He repairs the sheep gate, and he repairs the old gate, and he repairs the fountain gate, and he repairs the down gate. So by the time you move from the sheep gate to the old gate to the fountain gate, by the time you come all the way down this way, you are descending. And by the time you get to the down gate, that is where they take all the trash out. It is symbolic of how God begins with us as a sheep, but he brings us to a place where we have to empty ourselves of the dung. Topographically, it is a descent. Then once you get to the place of the dung gate, you begin to ascend to the other gates until you get to the gate of the Lord. That is where the fountain gate is, symbolic of the power of the Holy Spirit that stirs a person and changes them. And the scripture teaches us, if we will ascend into the hill of the Lord, it is the one who has clean hands and a pure. The one who has descended on this side to the dung gate, emptied themselves and have begun to rise up all the way until they get to the mikvah gate, which is the last gate, and it is close to the hill of the Lord. You might run around and say, Pastor teaches, hey, question is it with a pure heart? Psalms 51, we are closing. Psalms 51. Let's start from verse 1. It's a very lengthy reading. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. And this is David praying. This is David laying his heart on the altar. This is David asking God, do something about my heart. He was anointed. But the anointed man was capable of sleeping with somebody's wife. He was anointed. And by the way, how many of you know that the anointing of David was not ordinary? How many of you know that? The Bible says he was anointed 3 times. Not one anointing. No. He was anointed at Hebron. He was anointed by Samuel. He was anointed by all Israel. The guy had anointing, threefold anointing. Prophet, priest, and king. But notice what was inside him. As soon as he stands there and look outside and see Bathsheba bathing, prophet, priest, and king, full anointing on him, disappears. Quit walking around lying to your teeth that you are all that powerful. It is only by the grace of God that you are where you are. Grace, only grace. So he prays. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my... Please underline the word transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Underline the word iniquity. And cleanse me from my sin. Everybody say transgression, iniquity, and sin. You see, sometimes there are people you hear saying things like transgression, iniquity, and sin is the same thing. No, it's not. No, it's not. To transgress means that there is a known law and you go past that law. Therefore, you have transgressed that law. Iniquity is the sins of our fathers that introduces in us what I call a perpetual rebellious nature that violates God in spite of who God is to us. In other words, when you give birth to a child, like I told you, the family I am from, most of the men are womanizers. I am not shaming them. I'm only recognizing my background. I know where I come from. David said, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity because I am seeing that this thing some way, somehow has been passed down. How many of you remember Brother Solomon? You remember Brother Solo? Solo's dad is? So the thing was? It was in the blood. That's iniquity. That is why the scripture says, I, the Lord, shall visit the generations. What is he going to do? He says, I'll visit the iniquities of the fathers, even unto the third. Not that God is, he says, when I visit the first generation, my desire is that they should come to me. Lay your heart on the altar so I can break this thing. Verse 3, for I acknowledge my transgression. So the first thing David does, he acknowledges his sins. He acknowledges his transgression. Notice when he comes to acknowledge, he never says, I acknowledge my iniquity. He says, I acknowledge my. Because once he engages in iniquity, he transgresses God's law. He says, I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Verse 4, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, verse 5, please circle, highlight this verse. He is now admitting that when his papa and his mama came together, it was not just X and Y chromosomes moving, but iniquity was being passed along. Behold, I was shaping in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth where? Where is the inward part? Your heart. He says, behold, you desire truth in the heart of man, and in the heart thou shalt make me know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart. In fact, this is the 1984 NIV. He says, create in me a pure heart. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Why does he pray verse 11? Because the only thing that brings the clean heart is the presence of God and the Holy Spirit. So he says, make sure that these two things are not taken from me. The more you lay in the presence of God, the more he works on your heart, and your heart will begin to change from what it used to be to become what it is. Question, back to verse 10. Create in me a clean heart. Everybody say clean heart. So if the current heart he's asking for is clean, what is the name for the former one? Please don't use unclean. We just define pure heart as a heart with no hidden motives, with no hypocrisy, no deception, no pretense. So he says, Lord, my heart was full of pretension. Even when you are praying, sometimes you just want to show people you can pray. That's pretense. And it has already been what? Vetoed. Please understand. My wife would tell you, we have entered into a zone that sometimes when we pray, you don't hear our voices. It is not because we have become more spiritual. Because I'm intentional about my prayer, it cannot always be the same way. Are you here with me? Create in me a heart that is not pretentious. Create in me a heart that has no hidden motives. Create in me a heart that has no falsehood. How many of you are still sitting in your marriages and you all have a heart that is full of falsehood? Today, pray. In sin was I conceived, but I recognize. Purge me with hyssop. Clean me up. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Because you know, as well as God knows, And the interesting thing is we think we can deceive God. No, you can't. God knows your heart. When he reveals it to you, say, yes, sir, and do something about it. So David prays, he says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. And uphold me with thy free spirit. The NIV says, sustain me. Because when God begins to work on you in his presence, and he gives you a new heart, the only thing that can sustain the new heart is the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for joining us on this spiritual encounter. Need more help? Text radio to 301-696-8555 or visit us on the web at covenantfamilychapel.org. You may also visit us at one of our in-person services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and discover the difference that the kingdom of God makes. Like up on social media, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, all at Covenant One Family.